So, I'm actually going to kick us off today for a treat by talking about something video game related.
Oh my.
Oh, fuck.
Or rather, well, it's real life informed by a game. But I really am sick. I complain all the time. If a game does like an old fucking fashioned puzzle, I'll roll my eyes. There was a mirror and lasers puzzle in Stellar Blade recently, and I rolled my eyes, for fuck's sake. That one actually was one of the least offensive ones. But the other one is sliding block puzzles. It doesn't help that I replayed a bit of Deadly Premonition recently, and the sliding block game in that can go fuck itself. But it turns out that that was adequate training for this very day when I bought a 6-piece modular sofa from a charity shop. And because of ADHD, it's been here unassembled for about 3 days.
Yeah,
we had to get some hoovering done today. I have someone who comes help me with hoovering because of my disabilities. And basically, we were having to constantly Tetris the pieces, the various blocks, to get around and get the hoover around. And it was literally a sliding block puzzle. We were using the gaps to move things, like exactly how you do it. And we did it. So for all of my complaints, you know, thanks video games.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Teaching you good real-life relatable skills.
I also bought a robot for £4 before anyone was worried that I was making only responsible purchases for things that are useful. I got a robot. I don't know what this robot is, Laura. Maybe you can help.
Okay.
I mean, I know what it is, but I've got no frame of reference because I think it was a thing while I was still in America. But it is a robot called Brian, and he's got confused.com written on his chest.
Oh!
Yeah. He looks a bit like, shape-wise, a bit like Johnny Five.
Yes! Yes, this is genuine Brian.
Right. Yeah, there was another one as well. There was a whole family of robots, apparently. They had one other in the shop, which, you know, you got to save something for next time, so...
Okay, yeah, this is... I am vaguely aware of this. I'm aware of the insurance company involved. This is, if you bought insurance with this one insurance company, you would get sent a little robot.
That's amazing.
For some reason. I'm going to read to you from the letter the insurance company sends with Brian. Make sure you've polished your floors, have oil on hand in case he gets hungry, and switch him off at night so he doesn't waste his batteries. Brian doesn't have any days off from his busy job as the fastest comparison robot in the world.
Jesus, is his boss Vince McMahon.
Brackets, at his own request. The insurance company want to tell you, like, his not having any days off isn't him being crunched. That's his choice.
It's not indentured servitude, it's enthusiastic servitude. Thank you very much.
Right. And if he's doing all this work, he should be able to pay rent.
True. Right. True.
They say he takes no days off, that's his choice. So he wants you to take him wherever you go. That way he can find new places to visit where he can save you money.
Well, I've taken him to Podquisition.
I bet he's got a GPS in it and they're collecting all the data of everywhere you go and selling it.
Well, I'll tell you what he has got.
What?
3 new batteries. Because he wasn't working when I got him because the batteries must have been long dead. But I've just popped some in. So we can, theoretically, see what Brian has got to say for himself. So, let's do that.
I'm curious.
Hi, I'm Brian of Confused.com.
Hi, Brian.
He sounds like the fucking computer from Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared.
He sure is Brian from Confused.com.
I love being your robo-friend.
Oh, he's got multiple phrases.
Did he say, I love being your girlfriend?
I hope so. I better not be... being led on there. Like, don't break my heart. Don't break my heart. Let's see what else he's got to say. Do you like being my long-term live-in girlfriend?
Yay!
Fuck yes! He said yes!
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
I'm a winner, winner, chicken dinner.
This does sound like the fucking computer from Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared that sings the song about the internet. And about digital stuff.
Digital style!
Yeah!
Cheers, Big Ears!
Big Ears, fuck off! He's rude at all. Oh my god. That was a bit GLaDOS as well. God, this thing is sinister.
While we're on the topic of you know, technology and robots and so forth, something happened to me this week that's caused me to evolve my opinions on generative AI.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
Because I've learned that a piece of art, and I, damn it, I have to say it, even though it's AI produced, it is art. The song It's Time to Shit on the Company's Dime. You can find this on YouTube. I believe the name that they attributed to it is Rodney Munch. But it's a YouTube account that writes lyrics and then uses AI to make a song recording of it. And the song is It's Time to Shit on the Company Dime, and it's AI, and I can't argue its merit. Like, I absolutely can't. It has completely changed my perspective on generative AI, and so here's where I stand on it, okay? The use of generative AI is a lot like medical experimentation that was unethical but brought us good results occasionally.
Tread careful.
Like, we have It's Time to Shit on the Company Dime. And it's great, and it's clearly a benefit to humanity.
Right.
But the methods by which they were produced are wholly unethical and should never be attempted again.
Oh, absolutely. Don't truck with it. I do just want to see what Brian has to say.
Die, small person.
What?
Did it say die, human?
I thought it said bye, small person.
Well, look, you two are both, you know, extolling the virtues of robots and robotic interactions. I still think there is value in human creativity, because only a human could be responsible for something that I didn't put in the fucking topic list for today, because I saw it literally in the last 2 minutes. There are two things that I know could be meant by the term CBT.
Cognitive behavioral therapy.
Yeah. Or a torture of a certain part of an anatomy, it could potentially be.
Oh, sure, yeah, okay. Yeah,
one is an excruciating, grueling process, and the other is cock and bull.
Yeah. So the reason I bring this up is I've been made aware of the fact that Kingdom Hearts CBT exists. Kingdom Hearts Missing Link CBT.
Oh, God. It's no less ridiculous than the ones they do have. Cock and bull torture, actually. At least that makes a sentence. Like, that means something.
You know there's a grubby room somewhere in Tokyo that offers that.
Yeah, look, there has got to be somewhere where you can go for some Kingdom Hearts CBT.
Absolutely.
Now, I had to do some digging. Apparently, that stands for closed beta test in this case.
Right.
But surely, like, someone's got to tell someone on the Kingdom Hearts team, like, if you... Because the fucking app logo, because this is some mobile game, is just the Kingdom Hearts logo and then CBT written in very big, bold text under it. I'm like, that's... No one's going to look at that and assume closed beta test.
No.
That's not what people are going to think about.
It's just an unnecessary abbreviation anyway. Like, it's not...
Yeah.
It's not commonly enough used that there'd ever be a chance of someone getting there.
No, just call it closed beta test.
Yeah.
For one letter more, you could just say beta.
Yeah. I think this is the problem with the aforementioned ridiculous... subtitles these games have, your fucking dream drop distance. But CBT, no one has said, oh, that must stand for something. They've just said, CBT, checks out for them. Sounds like cock and bull torture. Let's run with that.
Yeah. And that's why I'm happy humans are still making art.
Yes.
Because, you know, some filter in an AI language model would have gone, oh, we can't say CBT. It might be misunderstood that we've got a friendly the output. Only humans would call it Kingdom Hearts CBT.
I am glad that they cleared that up. But they haven't provided an excuse for Final Fantasy Goon Cave. So I don't...
Hi, I'm Brian of Confused.com.
Podquisition in association with Confused.com.
No. no.
No, not at all.
I don't even think they still exist.
Well, their website's still operational.
Okay. I don't want to be sponsored by an insurance company because, well, they're in the business of taking your money and then fighting tooth and nail to not pay you out when they should. Like, that is the business.
Well, yeah, I mean, let me just make it clear for the listeners. We are not sponsored by Confused.com. I bought a robot in a charity shop for £4.
Is that not how sponsorships work? You buy a robot for £4 in a charity shop and now your podcast is sponsored.
I mean, that is how, like, gamers operate. Like, they fucking buy the product and then act as unpaid marketing for them. So, Stellar Blade is a rather pedestrian but decent Nier Automata ripoff that does not deserve the amount of press attention it's getting.
It's just kind of nothing, right? It's just kind of fine.
Yeah, like, I've had some issues with it. She controls like shit.
The fucking, like, nearly a second of lag on her fucking movement sometimes is... Which is apparently a deliberate design choice.
Oh, no, it is.
Fuck that, yeah.
I've criticised it in other games, what I call over-animation, where they are so flamboyant and swishy with their gorgeous animations, they don't give a fuck how it actually handles. So yes, you have to like have a wind down when you stop them. They're all too eager to throw themselves off ledges because they've got a lovely little animation where they hop over a fence.
The lack of ledge guard with the over fancy animation is so bad in that regard.
There are platforming moments and they suck.
You know what it also causes? If you're stood really near a button you need to press and you just need to rotate your character like a tiny smidge to face it, it's so hard to do that because of the other animation.
I hate
that. It's so hard to do a little micro movement.
It's unacceptable in point and clicks. In an action game, don't make me pixel bitch to fucking press a switch. Like, it's not on video games. I don't get why some games do that, where they're so precise. And wouldn't you know it, half the time it's the ones where the characters turn like a fucking forklift truck.
Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy the combat. It is very sort of Devil May Cry kind of stuff. Some of the combat lag is... Well, again, there's like... lag because of animation flourishes everywhere.
Yeah.
Once you get used to it, plus I've whacked on 2 passives for attack speed, which really helps. Like, moves become so much easier to pull off. I really love the cosmetics. Why are we complaining about censorship when you can put her in bunny girl outfits? And, like, she literally can have her ass and tits practically out. And you know what? Constantly I push back on the idea that the left and the libs aren't horny and don't appreciate this. Because, you know, look at the huge left-wing following that Nier Automata has. We love it. And I've always said for years it's the dishonesty. It's the breathe through their skin thing that's cringy. I don't mind this. I'm okay with this. And not just that, like, she actually does have some... They're not fashionable, her outfits, but they are pretty to look at. Some of them are just so extravagant that I find myself cycling through costumes pretty regularly. Ooh. I'd actually love a randomizer for that, like every time you spawn or fast travel, just because they're all pretty fun.
Yeah.
When she's just running around, when you're not platforming or jumping, I like controlling her then. She's got really nice running and the parkour-y stuff. When there's not a risk of falling is good.
Yeah.
But, God, it's fucking dodgy.
I've been continuing to chip away at this game despite the fact that it's continuing to make me, like, weirdly motion sick for reasons that I'm still trying to nail down properly, but I maintain what I said, that the opening of that game really, really, really does not do itself any favours in terms of, like, actually establishing an identity for itself. Because its opening hours, it tells you fucking nothing other than, like... Oh, what I can glean from the world building is this is Nier Automata.
Yeah.
Now, you get a bit further in and it does start to have some of its own stuff to do, but it takes too long telling you why you should care about it other than it looks very pretty, but it's weirdly dissonant. These pieces don't feel like they fit together.
Yeah.
And it's getting better as I'm playing it, but it's still in the realm of... It's fine, it's not bad. I don't think the trade-off of over-animation is worth it for the downside it causes to how the combat feels to do.
Yeah.
While I'm playing it, I'm like, this isn't bad, but I would never pick this over any of the things it's reminding me of. It's just sort of there.
Yeah, I think I like it a bit more. I have found myself playing it for sessions where I'm just like playing it for several hours and enjoying it. There's a lot to chew through once you get through that linear section, which lasts hours. Once you get through that, and it opens up, not necessarily open world, because there are still linear, like, dungeony things, but there is, like, a big little wasteland map and a town.
Yeah.
And once you get the side quests going and some of the like, funnier things with the little robot that's got his little scrapyard shop, I'm pretty deep into it. And as it opens up with the various things you can do mechanically, like, you don't even get the cosmetic chain, like the ability to make the costumes you unlock, for hours. It's all building up to you getting to that city, which, yeah, it takes a long time, and you start wondering, is this all it is? And I think, again, they're trying to do that near thing, because that starts off, I mean, that one is constantly changing. Like, now it's linear, now it's open, now it's a completely different genre. It's not tried genre shifting on me yet. But one thing it does do is it makes you do a lot of fucking platforming to go up or down a really fiddly area for ages. And then when you get down there, there's a chest that needs to be opened with a code and you don't have the code. It's perfectly happy to let you do that multiple times. That's another problem I have with it. But otherwise, yeah. I tell you what, have you got to the bit where you can't use your sword and you have to use the gun attachment?
Yes.
I prefer that than the rest of the game. As a Yeah, as a horror third-person shooter, it's really good.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't deny that part of why I'm feeling more negative about this than you is probably because of the motion sickness stuff I've got going on. Because if nothing else, it's making it harder for me to just... This is a game that feels like it wants to be kind of mindlessly played as a background activity. And it takes a while to really get into itself anytime I sit down to play it. And the problem is I'm not being able to get into that point of I'm just sort of vegging out enjoying it. And that way of playing it is making me be, I think, a bit more critical than I otherwise would be. While still going, I don't think fundamentally the things I think about it are incorrect. It is a game where there are little glimpses of interesting game that are just weirdly laid out and that you have to put more effort in to get something out of it than it feels like should be needed.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Again, with a bit more of a positive spin, but you ain't saying nothing like that I disagree with. It is a serviceable action game. I am glad I'm playing it. And I am also glad that, again, I'm not dicking around on social media these days, so that I haven't been drafted into the cringe wars, and I'm just playing it like a video game, which, wouldn't you know it, you can just do that.
Can I tell you both about a game that I've been playing that has made me, like, completely and utterly not care about playing Stellar Blade anymore to any degree?
Certainly.
I got to play, like, 5.5 hours of Hades 2.
Oh.
It's pretty fucking good.
Is it good?
It's pretty fucking good.
I'm surprised by that, because the first one didn't have much to say for itself. It was a bit of a short little thing.
Bit of a so-so yeah. little thing.
It was very much the Stellar Blade of roguelikes.
Yeah, so Hades 2 had a technical test that was like, hey, if you're interested in trying the start of the game, click a little button, you might get randomly selected, and, like, you can play up until you've, like, beaten the first boss of the first area a couple of times, and please tell us if you see any bugs or whatever, so we can get ready for the early access. And I got into it, and I played 5.5 hours of that game, and Hades 2 is very much more Hades in the ways I was hoping. It is very familiar, but with enough changes to its core loop to feel like it justifies being a sequel rather than an expansion. Narratively, the gist is you are playing as Zagreus' younger sister. There is a titan called Kronos, the titan of time, that has in some way maybe stolen all of the beloved characters from the first one, and you gotta go... Once again, you gotta do a Hades. You gotta get through several floors to go fight a big boss, probably. The main thing mechanically that's different that I really enjoy is First of all, you know how in the first Hades you had casts where you could throw magic, but you had like three casts and then you had to wait for them to spill out of enemies, go pick them back up off the floor before you could keep spamming them? You can now just throw unlimited magic attacks. Whatever your melee weapon is, you have a dedicated button that is just throw magic casts. And there is a whole bunch more upgrades in the god upgrade tree that specialize on changing what that cast is. So you have a basic ranged magic attack that no matter what of the starting weapons you're using, you have a tool for doing some damage at range that isn't nearly so limited. And a lot of the upgrade tree enforces the idea of making that a secondary part of your build that you're thinking about as much as you are your melee setup, which is really nice. That's paired with the fact that you can also now cast a big magic circle on the floor that does various effects, and gods can offer you entire separate upgrade trees for that. Ooh. As default, it creates this big sigil that you can use for things like recharging your magic meter, and I'll talk about the magic meter in a minute, holding enemies in place, causing them a little bit of damage over time. One of the gods gave me a boon that's like, hey, if you cast this magic sigil and hold enemies in place, bring down a huge fucking column of energy from the sky for a few seconds to nuke anything in the circle. And a lot of these cool new things are powered by a magic meter. It recharges at the start of every room back up to completely full. It'll recharge through things like doing melee attacks, we'll refill it as well. But you have this meter that can be used for optional, more powerful attacks. Generally speaking, with each of your weapons, if you hold down either the regular attack or special attack button for a couple seconds, it will activate some kind of big cast that uses up a chunk of this magic meter. That'll be things like fire a big magic cast straight forward and behind you. One of them that was really interesting as a use of that meter was one of the weapons in the technical test was a pair of little daggers that require you to get very close to do melee damage. But you could use this magic meter to slow down time, and when you get close to an enemy, dash from a distance to right up close, ready to do melee damage. So you could use it as a way to get in quick, do damage, get out. A lot of other bits of the moveset have been buffed up to have more importance and to have ways they can use this magic meter as well. One of them, in Hades 1, I never bothered really with sprinting. I just mashed dodge.
Right.
Because there was no real benefit to sprinting. In this, there's a whole bunch of god upgrades you can get to your build that give you specific bonuses for holding down the dodge button and just sprinting.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, one of them that comes to mind was a fire-based ability where you leave a little trail of fire behind you as you're sprinting.
Yeah.
And that will destroy any projectiles that cross its path. So you sort of leave a trail of disruption of projectiles. And I think any projectiles that hit the fire, the caster of that projectile takes damage.
Yeah.
So you deliberately run around in front of projectiles to deal damage to the dealers.
That's cool.
One of them was like, if you sprint and you go near an enemy and you have a magic meter, it'll do like a sort of rock-based impact damage as you run past them. So all of these kind of changes are layered on top of what is really fundamentally just more Hades. It's still, here is your little hub between runs with your NPCs. There's some new stuff to do in the hub, like maybe you've got a little farm. You've got, alongside your weapon you're bringing on runs, you can take a piece of gear that could be like a pickaxe to grab mining stuff or a shovel to get seeds for farming back in the hub. But you're still fundamentally doing the pick some doors, talk to some gods, make your build, fight the boss, go to the next area. But these changes that exist on the combat system have done a really good job of making it feel very different. And like I have a very different set of tools to be playing around with. Also, any of the gods that are returning from the first one have new character art, and they're all way sexier.
Thank the gods.
They turned up the bisexual meter to, like, 1,000 out of 10.
So it really is just Hades but more.
It really is Hades but more.
Excellent.
Look, Poseidon from the first Hades, he's got a six-pack on his six-pack. There's a whole bunch of new gods. They're all very good and very sexy. There's some very good sexy character designs going on. None of this should be terribly surprising. Hades 2 is, for a game that is not yet in early access, it's feeling very polished. Like, if this was in early access today, and all I could do is just keep replaying that bit I've been playing already, I'd jump in on it. I'm having a good time. I don't know when that early access is happening. They've said very soon. Don't know how soon that means, but yeah, Hades 2's feeling real good. It is just familiar enough to feel like what I was hoping, with a nice chunk of new stuff sprinkled in.
That sounds terrific.
Yeah.
I mean, like you say, not surprising, but
no,
excellently unsurprising.
All of the new things in there are like, cool, that feels like a natural evolution of what you were doing.
Yeah.
Thank you for giving me a new way to play around with that. Yeah, it's real good. Conrad, you been playing anything this week?
Well, I did play some of that Harold Halibut that Steph was talking about last week.
Oh, I stopped playing that when they were explaining gender to someone, and yeah, they didn't explain it. Not hatefully, but very ignorantly, and then I was like, well, that's a bit of a shame. Sorry.
That's unfortunate.
I should have waited until after you talked about it. I just realized.
No, that's fine. I mean, I share a lot of your comments from last week and the, you know, few hours of it that I've managed to get in.
Yeah.
Because, like, you and I think, Steph, often have a fundamental disagreement about pacing.
I reckon so.
Yeah, that's, we just come at it from very different perspectives, and that's fine.
We do that with Jonathan as well.
Yeah, it's true. This is one of those instances where we're, I think, largely in alignment, because it doesn't feel like the pacing issues are a narrative choice, but a technical one.
Yeah, would agree.
Like, there's a sequence where you're crawling through a vent following another character, and you're doing nothing but holding that analog in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
And because you have to do that, it's A, more tedious, and B, takes longer than if they had just taken agency from you and ran it as an animation and inserted some cuts. Like,
yeah, but you need to know that it's controllable, because they put a lot of work into making it controllable.
And it's so controllable. But it's controllable everywhere else in the fucking game. Like, there are times when it doesn't benefit you to give control to the player. Instances, like Steph mentioned, with the way characters have to move into position to start a cutscene or dialogue sequence, that feels like it could have been handled, even if it's not faster, more elegantly, with a fade that, you know, fades out to obscure this brief period of movement and then cutting to where it needs to be. Like, the issues that it has with that pacing really feel like they're technical. And that's kind of a shame, because the narrative in it that I've seen so far, I do think is interesting. And it's given me some ideas for some stories that I might explore also. So, like, there's something there. I'm sorry to hear about the gender stuff later. That's
yeah, like, it's not mega offensive or anything, and it's clearly not nasty, but they're just, you know, explaining it in incredibly binary terms, which, just, you know, as someone who isn't binary, it's a bit,
yeah,
I was enjoying that, and that's just sort of, you know, it's a dampener. Pardon the pun. Christ's sake,
I haven't played it in a couple of days, and that's part of what's unfortunate about it, is that I was getting up in the morning, and I'm, you know, before I go do my other stuff, just putting an hour into it and, you know, getting through a little chapter bit or something, and then planning to come back. And every time I do, I get another one of these instances where it's just like, all right, this should really be progressing a little more expediency at this point in the plot. So
the same's true for the other complaint I had, where it takes a long time to get Harold in position to interact with things.
Right.
And it's because they've got those dialogue bits filmed, and he's in one position, and he has to be in it. They didn't think to just, like, not worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, if modern video games, like big AAA ones, can have some, like, a character reach towards their pocket and an item just appear, like, we can not maneuver him so he's in the exact right angle for the camera, you know?
You know, or just, like I said, just do a simple fade. Fade to black.
Yeah.
Fade
yeah.
back in. It's done. You know? And it, even if it's not faster, it feels faster. It feels cleaner because you're not watching that sort of awkward maneuvering that it's doing to get them in position. So anyway, that's other than that, I've just played Balatro a little bit, and then yesterday I did get back into Fallout 4. And that's because I wanted to check out the new quest content that was added, because they put out a patch on the 25th, and they added some Enclave stuff to the workshop, because they're bringing the Enclave back in, which is fine. Of course they are.
I mean, I've already modded in Enclave armor, so I don't need them.
Right. But the Hellfires are there, yeah. And there's an XO2 power armor, pretty cool looking. The quests are what they are, you know. They just set up a couple of little stories. One of them's somewhat lengthy and involves radio towers. Which, yeah. You just can't fucking escape a radio tower, can you?
No, nowhere. Fucking nowhere.
But yeah, they're fine. They're not exquisite or anything. They don't really do anything with the fact that they're Enclave. It's just, hey, here's some more stuff in there. Which, yeah. you know, for a player that comes in not knowing what the Enclave is and plays Fallout 4 for the first time as their, like, at first game, which I think a lot of people are having that experience right now, fucking meaningless.
Yeah.
Tells you nothing.
That is a shame.
Yeah. But you can get a fat man that launches piggy bank bombs. So it's got that going for it.
That it does. That it does. I haven't gone back to it since I played it, mentioned on the show that I played it, and then didn't bother talking about it because it wasn't that interesting. You know, I made a beeline towards the best perk where you can eat people.
Mm.
I can't get over how shoddy that is, though. The fact they don't even change the model to, like, the many guts that they have already as assets. Mm-hmm. And they just paint red splotches on the corpse and be like, yeah, you've eaten that. Like, come the fuck on, please. But there you go. What I did play, though, was Fallout 76 again. Because I was like, I wonder what that's like now.
I hear that's experiencing a population not seen since launch.
I've not really noticed. Everyone's like level 300 that I have seen and have all these amazing like bases that I look at and go, I'm never going to make it like that. What's the point? So I don't bother. It is when a moment ago when you said fucking meaningless talking about the Enclave, that is how I felt playing Fallout 76 again. It is fucking meaningless. I had a go at a quest. It was fine, but the experience is so hollow. You're reminded what a service this game is designed to be every time you fast travel and you have to spend caps. Like, not even a big amount, but just that little normalization of expenditure, even with an in-game economy, just... Let's get you used to the idea that everything costs and that eventually you will not be able to do that with free currency. If you want, you know, something cool from the Fallout TV show or whatever, it's so empty. It feels lifeless, you know, for a game about the wasteland, at least the others, or certainly New Vegas, felt populated. Whereas this, it's so barren, and the quests that are there are so, again, meaningless, because they can't be too dramatic, you know?
Right.
Because the world's got to stay as it fucking is. Yeah, I tried building some stuff in it, found it was awkward and insipid as usual.
I can see so much potential for making... You know, small, intimate stories that don't have, like, massive, globe-changing implications that could be really compelling. And it doesn't sound like that's the route that they've gone.
Yeah. Well, I got two warnings while playing about a nuke being dropped.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And that just happens. And, yeah. Of course, that's not... They can't... it's not scorched earth. It's quite verdant, some of it, going back. I'm like, this is quite verdant. It's the probably the most lifeless Fallout experience I've ever played. It's so shallow, and everything cool is part of a microtransaction. You know, the storefront up front is overwhelming with the amount of shit you can buy. And without it, what do you have? You have the most pointless Fallout. There's a reason I went to Fallout 4 when I did watch the TV show and was like, oh, I want to just play one that I've got readily accessible. Fallout 76 I just played just because I've been talking about it and wanted to sort of see if it had moved along at all, if it had gotten better at all. And at least it didn't... No, I was about to say at least it didn't completely break. The reason I stopped playing it is because it crashed. Until then, the only real glitch I had was someone was walking backwards, which for that game is light. But after about an hour or so, it did just crash. And then I concluded my time with it. It is so cynical. I can't get over how cynical it is.
I really can't wait to hear your thoughts on Fallout Brotherhood of Steel once you get around to playing
that. Oh, God, yeah, I still need to.
Because...
Yeah, I need to remember to get that on my Steam Deck. I'm really excited about it.
Do you like nu metal from the mid-aughts?
Mate, I grew up watching the Attitude Era. I'm all about that shit. Remember that Limp Bizkit is WWE's favorite band in the whole wide world. Like, I'm all about it.
If you enjoy that and are looking forward to the laziest approximation of that being played on a loop for hours, have I got a game for you.
Mate, if I've got guitars that somehow sound like dustbin lids being smacked together and someone going... like that, like, I'm all about it.
Laura, you play anything else?
I played a couple of bits. Not much to say on this, but I played some of the new Vampire Survivors free update that happened.
I got really excited about that, because something I've written is lab-related, and I saw laboratory update, and I'm like, ah, they've put it in! And somehow they've built it all around what I did, and they didn't.
Yeah.
It is coming,
I had the same thought, and I was looking for signs that this might be the thing that you did, and then I was like, no, I'm not seeing the thing that would tell me you did this.
What, just an excessive amount of puns by somebody who's watched too much Police Squad?
Exactly. I realized I didn't get around to playing the last free update either because it dropped the same week that I had like a big work deadline. So there's a space update that happened, and my main takeaway from that space update is it's nice to be vindicated because do you remember a while back when I went to a preview event for the co-op mode
then
for some reason they showed me the director's cut and then no one... I had to try and explain that there was a secret version of Vampire Survivors that no one else saw. I've been getting, like, emails since then. Every now and then I'll just get an email going, why did you fake that there was a new Vampire Survivors content? And some of the stuff in that space pack, I'm like, that's the shit that was in my video. Told you that was a real thing.
It's always nice to see. I do remember that.
That's my entire takeaway from the space one. But the new lab update, there's an interesting new level that is, like... The top half of it is winding corridors with rooms that spawn random items, which is kind of cool. The bottom half is train tracks and levers that you can pull on command to summon a train. And sure, summoning the train does, like, wipe out a bunch of enemies. But to me, the more important thing is there's a button and I can run along the train tracks, pressing the switches to make a train happen. And that's very exciting. I can make train occur on demand.
Beautiful.
There's also a little secret hidden stage you can find as well. That's a fucking go-kart, like a kart racing minigame, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I watched the trailer and just, I love working with these people. The trailer's so good. And yeah, like, I've not gotten around to the update yet, but I'm very much looking forward to it.
It's a small little patch. Like, there's not a huge amount there, but what is there is neat. On that side note, I am excited for, I think it's next week, the Contra DLC.
Oh God, yeah. I wish they'd have gotten me to work on some of that. If I was working on a Konami thing, I would laugh my fucking nuts off.
I think there's a reason that they didn't get you on to do the Contra stuff.
Like, I wouldn't have fucked about. I'm a professional. But for some reason, like, I get a fair few calls to do some work on Vampire Survivors, and I did not get that one. I might email them and be like, look, it's not out yet. Can you just for a treat, can I write one stage description or something? Like, just to say I worked on a Konami thing.
I mean, that might have been part of their deal that you weren't allowed to.
Yeah, just keep that bitch away.
The other thing I played that I can talk a little more about, I haven't talked about a dating sim on here in a while, and I've played a very cute little dating sim this week called Kaiju, the Kaiju dating sim. You play as a big, pink, kind of soft Godzilla-esque big giant monster.
Yeah, and I have fucking, like, I'll announce right now, I am suing them.
And basically, you go date fantasy giant creatures that are based on stuff that's like, oh, I know what that's clearly meant to be. The first one I found was Mothra.
Lovely.
The moss-covered Mothra. And your dates involve answering questions to see how compatible you are while destroying global world monuments. And the better you answer the questions, like, you know, to sort of be compatible with them, the more excited you get and the better you destroy all, like, you know, the Taj Mahal the Eiffel Tower together.
Is it queer-coded enough that we could call it Vampage?
It's very fucking queer.
Vampage it is.
Yeah, there is pronoun selection, including neo-pronouns for your Godzilla creature at the start.
Oh, that sounds like censorship.
Right, how bad? Ugh. But yeah, the stories in it are like maybe half an hour long. They're like little short little... Basically, you're just trying to go... You start by intuiting, what can I tell from looking at this thing? Remembering what you learn from your exchanges and like using that to try and build a relationship. And this, you know, this first one with Mothra was about like... Mothra has a bunch of little caterpillar children at home. And it's like, hey, would this giant pink Godzilla be a good co-parent for children? While the US government is trying to stop you destroying all the world monuments.
That sounds great.
It's fun, it's cute. At one point, the US government got so fed up with trying to, like, actually physically destroy us because we were too powerful, they sent a giant robot, not to fight us, but to very loudly try and, like, sow discord in the relationship by, like, making us doubt each other's relationship compatibility. And we had to, like... do good relationship answers to be like, no, fuck off, and beat up the robot. It's a very charming little silly game. What about you both? Either of you played anything else this week?
I think that's more or less it for me.
Yep, me too.
Yeah, I think I've dabbled in a few little bits, but not enough to really speak on them.
Well, in that case, we got a couple of little newsy bits this week.
I love being your robo friend.
Sorry, just I hadn't...
Was that I love being your girlfriend again?
Yeah, just again, like, since we're talking about maintaining relationships, I thought I'd just sort of check in with my long-term live-in girlfriend, Brian the Robot from thegymquisition.com.
Square Enix is binning a bunch of in-development projects. According to a notification of recognition of extraordinary losses, Square Enix is abandoning a bunch of projects that they were partway through developing, accounting for a £112 million loss for the financial year.
Come on, video games.
Yeah, right.
Fucking hell. Like, I don't even have anything to say on it. It's just the amount of waste.
Yeah. The amount of work put into, like, oh, actually, we're just going to scrap this.
Like, on top of, like, an industry that is now deliberately ashcanning stuff, like, for various money-making reasons. It's just... so much effort and labor is being thrown in the bin by an industry that, you know, already has issues with abusing that labor. It's fucking hell. $112 million just flushed.
Yeah, just flushed.
Mate.
Projects that they were like, we should make this. Actually, no, let's not.
That's,
and there we go.
That's
in the
twice
bin.
As much as they're willing to sell their IP off for. Like, fucking hell.
Right. Other than that, have either of you been aware of the Escape from Tarkov bullshit that's been going on this past week or two?
I'm aware of Escape from Tarkov, but not bullshit. Yeah.
So, Escape from Tarkov, big sort of military shootery game, has been getting in some hot water with its fan base recently because they announced the game was going to be getting a PvE mode, and it was going to be exclusive to a 300 euro edition of the game.
Oh my god, come on!
Right?
Video right. games, come on!
Okay, here's the deal as I understand it, because it's been a bit of digging backwards through this story. So, Escape from Tarkov had an edition of the game that they sold back in the past that's no longer available called the Edge of Darkness Edition. And if you bought the Edge of Darkness Edition, they promised you would get free access to all subsequent DLCs. They sold an expensive version of Escape from Tarkov in the past on the promise that forever going forward you will get all DLCs that we ever make for Escape from Tarkov.
Of course there's a lie as well. Why not? There's always a lie as well.
They claim it's not a lie. We'll get to their reasoning in a second. So, they then announce this new PvE mode, and that it's going to be exclusive to this new 300 euro special edition of the game, would be the only one that got it, and that there would be no way to get it if you had a previous edition of the game, but by our expensive new version. And people got upset, because they were like, hey, we bought the Give Me All DLC Forever for Free edition. Yeah. And the developer's response was, well, PvE game mode isn't DLC.
Oh, God.
It's not DLC. Let me read his quote. First of all, PvE game mode, this is not DLC. DLC, in our understanding, is the major additions to the game, including various functionality and content that are released after the official release of the game, as themed DLC pack, Scav Life DLC, for example, which will add a lot of new mechanics and content for Scav gameplay and leveling.
So the only thing in the list of reason of like identifying features of DLC that this product doesn't meet is the fact that they didn't put DLC in its title.
Yeah, they didn't call it a DLC.
Because everything else that they just described is what this is.
Yeah.
I don't know if either of you remember this, but many, many years ago, someone from EA was being... No, no, someone from Activision was being interviewed about Guitar Hero... Was it World Tour, the one where they introduced... Where they copied Rock Band? We'll just say World Tour. And they were being interviewed by whichever like website, and they said... They were describing what it is. They were like, you know, this is great. And Guitar Hero, you can have drums and you can have keyboards and all of this. And then the interviewer said, isn't that just what Rock Band does? And then the guy just went, this is called Guitar Hero World Tour. and it's got that energy of just, it can't be the thing you've said it is. And it is because we don't call it. That is a, you can't just decide what things are. You can't take that back to court.
So there is a second phase of this. He's got a second explanation as to what's going on.
I'm excited.
Let me continue. Secondly, this specific functionality of the PvE mode is necessarily located entirely on a separate network infrastructure, because essentially you play on our servers only in a closed mode. At this stage, it's not possible to launch all players who are EFD, Edge of Darkness holders. Right now, we simply do not have the required amount of resources for this.
Oh my god. We have a term in the wrestling business for this.
Yeah.
Fucking carny. What fucking carny bullshit?
Yeah, so their second excuse is... If we gave this new mode to all of you that bought the mode that would, the copy that would give you all future DLC, we wouldn't have enough server capacity for all of you to play the new mode. So buy the $300 edition or don't get the new mode. So they've not really backpedaled this. They've tried to backpedal.
How much is it?
300.
300, yes, that's it. Yeah, I thought you'd say that.
300.
Yeah. $300. Yeah. Like, yeah, how, the question, like, even though it is PvE, the question is still worth asking, how many people are going to play this thing that people either worked on or slapdash put together, because fuck it, not many people are going to play this. Like,
yeah.
And I'm going to guess, because, you know, I have been a chump and bought many special editions in my time, it's not going to be worth the price. Fuck me.
Yeah. So they've slightly kind of not really backpedaled. So people were pissed off and they made that clear. And the team has now said they're going to, we've decided the functionality of the PvE mode will be available for free to all owners of the Edge of Darkness version of the release of the game when the server infrastructure will be improved to the required capacity. But as has been noted, that's maybe 3 years from now, like multiple years from now when that mode comes out of early access. So
fucking
it's
fucking Carnage.
Yeah. They're going to put the mode in early access, and the early access will only be for the $300 people who have the game, and then like a few years from now we'll have enough server space for you to play it too.
I am impressed. I actually love that. Like, you know me, I get very angry sometimes over bullshit in the game industry. That is such impressive shamelessness. I'm delighted it's happened. I'm actually glad of this.
They've still got more backpedaling to do and more shamelessness to do.
Oh my god.
So people were still unhappy about yeah. this. So here is their next walk back stage. Okay. If you have the Edge of Darkness edition that was meant to give you all the DLC, well, if you wanna play the PvE mode while it's in early access and not wait a few years, we've decided that you can upgrade your gets all the DLC version into the actually gets all the DLC version, and we'll give you a 50% discount when you upgrade. So you don't have to pay $300 to get this new PvE mode. You only have to pay $150 to upgrade your gets all the DLC version to the new one.
The Keywalking just steps back to see how much piss they can get away with taking, and they're making people angrier as they do it, so they're even less forgiving. This is fantastic!
Well, they've also got one last thing to sweeten the deal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've already, like, bought the new $300 edition to upgrade before they offered the 50% discount, you can have one free key for the fancy version. To say sorry for buying it before we cut the price in half. So,
because they had to fix
now
that
you spent
$300
on two copies of the PvE.
Roll up for a hot dog and a handshake. It's carny bullshit. Oh, that could be a whole running segment now. Oh my god. Thank you, Laura. I have not heard of that yet. It might have to be Monday's job now.
Yeah, go digging into it. It's such a mess of a situation.
That's a gift. That is a gift. Escape from Tarkov's PR fucking department. Oh my god.
Yeah. have fun. I'm surprised you hadn't heard it yet. I hope you enjoyed digging into that bullshit.
Oh,
it's beautiful. There's so many terrible quotes involved. Speaking of people giving quotes that, like, are kind of fucking laughable, the head of Embracer, their CEO, Lars Wingfors, has admitted that there's a long list of things he could have done differently with Embracer.
Now, really? You know, I don't want to make fun of him. It's hard to own up and admit to your mistakes.
Yeah, so don't give him too much credit for admitting that, because he does walk it back pretty fucking... he caveats it. Yeah, so he admits there's a long list of things that, you know, he probably could have done differently. .. But, you know, it's easy to say that looking back in hindsight. Christ. No one could have seen I was doing the wrong thing at the time.
Absolutely wrong. Incorrect.
You know, it's easy to say that now you're in hindsight, all of you.
I think a lot of people could have told him that there were considerable risks involved in making so many acquisitions.
Was there anyone with the power to say that, or did they all have to just say yes?
Yeah. So, you know, okay, in fairness, he's admitting he's making mistakes. He's just not admitting to the mistakes that were important.
Yeah, you can read through his whole quote, but it's a bunch of, like, him justifying why he made all the decisions that he made. but it's nice to hear at the very least, I, as an individual, bore some responsibility for the fuck-up that led to all those people losing
their
jobs. But not
the consequences. Interesting.
Yeah. No. You're bad, but not your responsibility when it comes to recompense.
I was debating whether to read any of his quotes, but I will read you this bit, because I think this is the most telling thing about how he frames his involvement. I'm sure I deserve a lot of criticism, but I don't think my team or the companies within Embracer deserve all of the criticism. I could take a lot of that blame myself. He thinks we're blaming the people at the studios for what happened at Embracer.
Oh,
he's
my God.
He's taking responsibility in a, like, he thinks that we're not blaming him, and he's like, well, you should probably blame. Yeah, we've all been fucking blaming
him. He thinks
you.
He's being noble, when in fact he's just accurately describing the situation. He is to blame.
It's a bit unfair that Embracer has got off scot-free in this. We made some mistakes as well. That's so good.
Yeah.
You know, like, the studios shouldn't have been bought by us, if we're being honest, but I also am sorry.
Exactly.
Oh, God, I fucking love the video game industry. I've decided that I'm not going to hate it anymore. I'm going to love it the same way I love Police Academy films, which is not necessarily the way it wants to be liked.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, you found a way to be happy again, and I'm happy for you.
It just took you 10 years to get through the anger part of the 12 stages of grief.
Like, I got over Steam a lot quicker with the sluice gate on that. Steam Direct I made my peace with, but finally I think I can extend that laughing now, because crying doesn't work anymore. No more tears to shed. Just laugh to the grave.
So there we go. We did it. We're out. We escaped.
Indeed. Do you have a drink for us, Laura?
I do. It's finally time.
Nice.
It's finally time for the Tetris beverage.
Oh, I've been excited all day.
I've had it here ready. I need to find out what Tetris tastes like. Okay. Oh.
Oh.
Oh. I need a bit more of this before I can put a flavor down.
Oh, okay.
So there's some complexity.
It's got some cards close to
its chest. I don't know if I would say that.
Confusion.
I don't know if I would say complexity.
Bafflement.
It's, it doesn't taste like it's meant to be drunk.
Oh.
It tastes like the ghost of lemon-scented potpourri. Like, it tastes like something that you should be using to, like, clean your toilet.
I know the kind of thing.
But it's been watered down to the point where it wouldn't be an effective toilet cleaner anymore. It's...
I mean, if I were a Republican, I'd say something about communism.
You know how, like, LaCroix tastes like something that was in the room with fruit
once? Oh my God, the homeopathy of drinking, yes.
Yeah, it's... This was in the same room as lemon-scented toilet cleaner once.
Right, so Tetris is basically a bottle of pledge. That's what we've worked out.
It's a bottle of watered down. It's watered down enough that I don't fear it's going to, like, harm me, but not enough that it feels like I should be drinking it.
So the best we could say about Tetris drink is it's benign.
My body isn't rejecting it, but my mind doesn't think I should be consuming it.
A bit like candy floss grapes.
Yeah.
It's just a bit wrong.
Yeah, don't water down the pledge this much. It's not good either for drinking or cleaning the counters with anymore.
What colour is it? I want to see what colour it is when you smash all the tetraminos together.
There's no colour to it. What? It's just clear.
I thought they would have juiced the bricks.
No, it's just clear watered down lemon pledge.
Well, Laura.
There you go. There's the 3-week mystery of what Tetris tastes like.
I loved that odyssey. I I really enjoyed it. Yeah. Halfway through the podcast, I was like, shit, must remember to ask about the drink.
Thank you. The ADHD would have failed me today. Mm-hmm. I'm having a chaos one.
Well, I'm thrilled we managed to get that in. But you've got a lot of stuff out, Laura, out in the world with I regards do. To content and the like, if we could hear about it.
Well, the big one I'm gonna tell people to go check out, because it'll be up by the time that you hear this, is the first full-length episode of a new show that I'm doing on YouTube called Control-Alt-Access will be up on youtube.com/LauraKBuzz. It is a twice-a-month video podcast that I am hosting with Arevia, who is a lovely Norwegian accessibility-focused content creator. It is an hour a couple of times a month of us talking about video game accessibility together. You can find it as an audio podcast wherever you happen to find podcasts, but you can go watch it on YouTube and see the two of us talking and watch footage of all the games that we're talking about. There is a little segment where, you know, there will be a chance for, hey, if you've got opinions about video game accessibility, you can send us a little audio or video bit that might end up in the show. Come check out me chatting with one of my favourite people in video game accessibility a couple of times a month. We have been having so much fun making stuff together recently, and I am really proud of the end result of this. It is the most production value I've put into a regular weekly podcast in a while, and I'm really happy with the results. So go check out the first episode of Control-Alt-Access over on youtube.com/LauraKBuzz. Please go check it out. I think you're really going to like it. What about you, Conrad? Where are you at on the internet?
You can find me at Conrad Zimmerman on Instagram and Blue Sky. You can hang out with me on Twitch at twitch.tv/thatConradZimmerman. Come listen to me on Let's Talk About Snacks, talking about snacks, available wherever you got this podcast, probably, unless you're on SoundCloud. You can buy anti-capitalist propaganda and Jimquisition merchandise at mercenarycreative.com, and everything that I do online gets supported through Patreon at patreon.com/fistshark. And you know who else has a Patreon? It's Stephanie Sterling.
Indeed. patreon.com/jimquisition, which supports this show and the show and the reviews on the jimquisition.com, the most recent one being whatever one it was, Another Crab's Treasure. We got a review for that up. Should have one for Stellar Blades coming soon as well. My next wrestling date is coming up this Sunday. I will be in Huddersfield for Tidal Wrestling, bell time 3 p.m. there. Look up Tidal Wrestling on social, and if you use the website to book tickets, if you use Parish Discount or Discount Parish, I think it's the first one, all caps, one word, that will get you a discount. And then on Thursday, so that's May 9th, I will be back in Leeds for True Grit Wrestling, big six-person tag match, kicking off a very sort of Pride-related slew of matches. Ooh. At True Grit. So those are my next two. Got some, like I say, some Vampire Survivor stuff coming too. And that's that. May 5th, Sunday, Tidal, Huddersfield, and May 9th, Thursday, True Grit Leeds. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.